In the states of the old Confederacy, most of the SBC churches are English-speaking, but this is not the case in the West. Almost any metropolitan area could illustrate the point. The Sacramento Association of Southern Baptist Churches includes the following ethnic congregations: Chinese, 1, Vietnamese, 1, Mien Laotian, 1, Hmong, 1, Russian, 3, Romanian, 1, Korean, 3, Hispanic, 4, and Filipino, 1. Black SBC churches are also many and increasing. In discussing Southern Baptists, then, clearly we are not talking just about WASPs. Nationally, ever more importance is also attaching to ASPs, Asian Protestants, and LAPPs, Latin American Pentecostal Protestants. However, the SBC can fairly be said to constitute a white, conservative Southern sphere of influence. Here, a brief return to the religious politics of race is in order. The SBC's cultural conservatism is not of the sort that inhibits non-white conversion and enlistment. What it does propound, though, is a conservatism of evangelical theology preoccupied with saving souls and dismissive of other designs, whether liberal sociology or government-run social welfare programs, to ameliorate the ills of society. The answers, say SBC preachers, lie in the Bible and in coming to Jesus. Government social welfare planning and programs, in this view, only get in the way of individuals' assumption of personal responsibility and salvation. In Divided by Faith, Evangelical Religion and the Problem of Race in America, two Southern sociologists, Michael Emerson and Christian Smith, make a compelling case that evangelical beliefs support the status quo when they lead white Southerners to insist that persons of both races are masters of their own fates and salvation. White evangelicals lopsidedly believe that if blacks don't get ahead, it is because of black culture or lack of initiative, explanations that pivot on individual responsibility. Under evangelical theology, social structures are not the real problem, and government action and involvement are rarely the solution, or so white true believers usually conclude. To Emerson and Smith, these attitudes work to maintain racial divisions. However, although such beliefs make Southern whites unsupportive of legislation that many Southern blacks favor, they do not seem to turn conservative black congregations away from the SBC. On the contrary, their numbers have grown from virtually none in 1890 to 1,100 in 1990 and 2,700 in 2000. Still, whether we look at Southern Baptists or other denominations sprung from 18th and 19th century roots in the South or border states, their original imprint in the West and Midwest, if not the recent ethnic embroidery, essentially came from white migration from below the Mason-Dixon line. Billy Graham wasn't the only Southerner who spread Dixie's evangelical faith. This case has been documented in detail by Oregon sociologist Mark Shibley, who penned the Southernization entry in the Encyclopedia of Religion and Society. There, Shibley described his own research. He showed that virtually all the membership growth in evangelical churches during the 1970s could be attributed to growth in historically Southern evangelical churches. Moreover, Shibley found that the growth of Southern-style religion was especially marked outside the South and corresponds with regions that experienced high levels of in-migration from the South during the same period. Shibley's book, Resurgent Evangelicalism in the United States, showed that the pattern held through the 1980s. However, along the Pacific, especially in California, the 80s saw local culture start to reshape conservative Southern evangelical religion toward a more relaxed and liberal outlook. A further point, of course, is that the Southern-sprung religion spread across the West and Midwest was not all brought in by the SBC. Emigrants from the South and border states also brought restorationist or primitive denominations, Churches of Christ, Christian churches, and Churches of God, as well as Holiness, Pentecostal, and Charismatic sects. Chapter 6 will expand the portrait of conservative religion. One is partly reminded of how much ethnic maps of Europe had changed between 1871 and 1919. New ethno-religious lines and borders often mean new political battlegrounds, and it is to that uncertain clash to which we now turn.